This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco off of Preston. Thank you, everybody, who's already out here. And if you haven't made your way out here, you should. We're having a blast, and I have now eased up. So it's time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good, good, good. I want to ask you this because I don't ever want to assume anyone's feelings about anything. But one of the things that Jerry was talking to us about that I thought was really fascinating, and I just don't agree with, and I think you already know that, is he seems fascinated and doesn't understand why people keep asking about the running back position. Do you feel that same way? Because just so my position is clear as well, I totally understand why people are asking about the running back position.
Well, they were asking about it for months, right?
True, true, true. He just seems surprised that that is still the case.
Well, and here's one of the things that I like to say. It's great to ask questions, but don't be afraid of the answer.
Sure.
Right?
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
When you don't agree with it, well, okay, what you asked the question, and that's what you got from him.
Yeah,
I understand why everybody's asking. They haven't run the ball, but to me, and I keep saying it, I don't think the offensive line has played well in the run game. I just don't see where, and I'll keep saying it, I don't see where there's holes that the running back's not going through. And that a different running back would, you know, make a significant difference in kind of what they're facing. So, I mean, it's two games, you know, keep going. And it seems like, you know, Dalvin Cook's the answer to everything. Am I right?
Like no, very no. Backup
He's on the practice squad.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the backup quarterback theory, Mickey. It's like when, you remember when Anthony Wright was here and everybody was like, no, put Anthony Wright in instead.
The Rams needed the Rams needed a running back, and they went and got somebody off their couch when they could have gotten somebody off a practice squad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the guy in the practice squad's practicing. The guy in the couch ain't practicing. So, I mean, he's free. Are the Cowboys the only ones that need a running back out of 32 teams, you know, the other 31 teams? So
yeah, surely not.
I just want to see it where I say, okay, the offensive line is playing awfully well and these running backs aren't hitting the hole or they're not capable of getting through the hole.
I think that's fair.
Then, you know, maybe I'll say, okay, it's time. I just don't think they've seen that yet. And they're not going to tell you, well, the offensive line not playing as well as it needs to, right? That ain't going to happen. So we'll just keep an eye on it as it goes along.
You know, Babe Laufenberg was on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show yesterday, and he dropped he doesn't want Micah to spy on Lamar Jackson, which I totally get because he's your best pass rusher. But he threw out this the put your worst in coverage linebacker out there to spy on Lamar Jackson. Would you agree with that? And who would be that guy that you would say, all right, that's the spy for Lamar?
Well, it depends how they're playing it, right? If you indeed are going to do it, I think the only guy that's kind of big enough but fast enough to do it would be Overshown.
Yeah, but he's good in coverage too, isn't he?
Well, I don't know how good he is in coverage yet. I mean, we haven't seen him in coverage, have we? I mean, we've seen him sack the quarterback when he got shot out of a cannon, right?
Yes, yep.
And so I think he's athletic enough and you know, I don't know. I think he's around 235. That he would be big enough to make tackles in the open field, and you know that's what you got to do. I don't know. You know, if you have three linebackers on the field, I mean, Leofau's pretty good in coverage. But is he athletic enough and is he fast enough to run with Jackson? Now, the key thing is, number one, you got to keep him in the pocket, right? So that's on your defensive ends. You can't let them outside. You can't get out of your lanes. Now, number two is they will call plays for him. It's not just he scrambles, right? They're going to call run plays. And once again, your front has to play well. You can't get knocked off the line of scrimmage like they did against the Saints, where your defensive linemen are going backwards. Or they're going outside so far that they're leaving a lane if the defensive tackle gets blocked. So that's kind of the way you got to stop him from running. You've got to contain him in the pocket, and especially when he's trying to throw, you want to force him to throw the ball, I think. I'm not terribly afraid of him if he's in the pocket throwing.
Sure.
At least if he is, then you know where he's at. You can go, try to get him. But it's those run plays they actually call for him. Those are the ones that would scare me, because now he's got 10 blockers, right?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Now, we haven't talked about either one of these players a whole ton during the week, but both made impacts in the last game, or however impact you can make in a blowout. But what's your thoughts about Jalen Tolbert and Schoonmaker thus far, and maybe in the game on Sunday? Because I know career highs for Schoonie in that game, and then Jalen Tolbert also made a heads-up play in addition to his catches.
Yeah, I think as a third wide receiver, I think you're fine there. I don't know if you're worried about the third wide receiver, but I think he can do that job, and I think Schoonmaker, as a second tight end at this point in his career, I think he's, shown that he's got a little something. I don't know that you want him to be your starter, your number one guy, and that's why
Sure. It's,
kind of good news that Ferguson at least practiced on a limited basis the last 2 days, and I think they feel good about his ability to play in the game. But as a second tight end, and a guy that if you're going to go two tight ends, you got to be, it's not just catching passes, right? You got to be able to block. And I think he's pretty good at that at this point. And he'll get better, I think, as a receiver. These guys are young. He wasn't very healthy last year. A lot of these young guys, I'm going to get off to a slow start, but they chose to rely on a bunch of these young guys, either rookies or guys that are in their second year that didn't play much their rookie year, and you just got to hope that they come along as the season progresses. And so, getting off to a slow start, like I said, I don't think anybody out there pick the Cowboys to be any better than 1-2 after 3 games.
Are you really thinking about that?
Yeah,
one, Kevin?
That's an interesting question.
I mean, when you did your WLs when the schedule came out, you didn't have them beating the Browns.
I did.
In Cleveland?
I was not a Cleveland believer.
Okay.
I also wasn't a Saints
but
believer.
But you weren't a Saints believer.
That's, that is very fair. I had them beating the Saints.
I had them 2-1.
You're right about
stretch.
That. Yeah.
And I bet you
right
were a Baltimore
that.
Believer too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So this schedule already has not gone how I thought it would for the most part.
As Zach Martin told me when I said something to him about that, he goes, Mick, you know better to assume things in the NFL.
That's a good point, because we did a topic at the beginning of this week, and I was like,
or at Notre Dame, you know what I'm saying?
There were so many upsets, and then we're like, well, maybe not. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, so maybe this is exactly what these teams are going to be. Do you have a prediction for
no,
us?
No, I don't.
What? Come on, Nick.
Here's what's bothering me from picking Baltimore. Remember what we thought of the Raiders when we saw them in preseason?
Yes, that they stunk.
And that they played their starters against the Cowboys
yes.
backups?
Yes.
And they had him at home and lost to him. So you're going to get 23-20 Cowboys from me.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll start catching up with you again next week.
Sounds good. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Go ahead.
Kevin, I just noticed we got our reps for Miller Lite here today. And it looks like they are giving away some Miller Lite glasses with DeMarcus Ware. I think that's DeMarcus Ware Hall of Famer there on the glasses. So it seems like Miller Lite's just coming to this thing saying, hey, we got y'all covered if you're Cowboys fans out of Buffalo Wild Wings with the KNC Masterpiece.
I feel like they should trick that up a little bit. I know people already got their glasses and be like, where's your beer order?
Where is your beer?
Here's a glass
for you. Put beer in that glass right now.
And then you can just pour it into the glass.
Yes.
That's something very, very simple that I think we might be able to do. Now, Mike, I pulled a little bit of information that I thought you might be fascinated by. Just in case, can you give me... If we have a Mavericks cut, I don't see it on the sheets.
Oh, no. Well,
we might not have it. All right.
Bang, bang.
That sounds like a Mavericks cut. That could be any NBA
Remember that
cut
was
right
in
there.
The COVID.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my. He's on fire.
I do remember that. Early point spreads for these two particular games, the season opener and the Christmas game. So the Mavericks are the home team for both. They start up against San Antonio.
6.5.
Okay. Corey, you think that's a good point spread against the Spurs?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Point spread right now is 8.
Oh, this game's over. Why are they even playing it?
When you started saying 8, I thought you were going to say 80. I was like, oh, my gosh,
now,
this is the greatest point spread ever.
Why would I say that? And then Minnesota at the Mavericks on Christmas Day. How are we feeling about this one?
All the wins.
We'll see.
Point spread is fine.
I will say this. That's very tough because you don't know who's going to be healthy. Like, we have a good idea who's – like, your team
sure.
– the only one is Kyrie's in question, right? Isn't he in – like, there's a small question about Kyrie being able to play the opening game.
Yeah.
Because of his off-season surgery.
Yeah.
But the Spurs are a bad team. I get they have Wimby, but they're a bad team.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Minnesota is a great
team.
And so – if they're both healthy, I'll say Dallas by 2.5.
Ooh, Dallas by 3.
I was going to say Dallas by 3.
Oh, Corey. Yeah. But see, Corey, I knew you would know it.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm trying
you.
To give Mike a chance in these basketball conversations.
He's just getting into basketball right now.
Can I throw out a Wimby thing for you?
Sure.
Do you think starting this upcoming season, Wimby will make the next 5 first-team All-NBAs, go to an NBA Finals, and also go to a Western Conference Finals? Now, he's not going to win a championship, but let's just say in the next 5 years, Wimby makes first-team All-NBA all the next 5 years in his second through sixth year in the NBA, goes to a Western Conference Finals within 3 years of his career, but loses in the Western Conference Finals. Kind of gets blown out, but he does make it to the Western Conference Finals. Then in his sixth year, we'll make it all the way to the NBA Finals. It won't be that competitive, but if he does all of those things, do you think people will say he's having an unbelievably great career?
Because you're describing the trajectory of LeBron, I'm assuming.
No.
No? Okay.
That's exactly what Luka's done, and everybody's ticked at Luka that he's not like living up to expectations. But right now, I was watching the Mike Trout thing with Josh Young. He's bought a whole bunch of Wimby cards. I'm like, can Wimby make first-team All-NBA the next 5 years, go to a Western Conference Finals in 1 year, and in another year win the Western Conference Finals but then lose in the NBA Finals, and then everybody would say Wimby's a big disappointment these next 5 years?
I kind of do think they might think that because, at least from a card perspective, his prices are, if he's not a top 10 player in the history of basketball, you're going to lose some money.
What's the likelihood he's better than Tim Duncan, who has 5 NBA championships?
Like you would argue, no. Right?
That's the tough thing about Wimby right now is his hype is he literally has to be better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I'm not making this up. He has to be better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for him to live up to the expectation that's on him after 1 year.
Yeah, and Pop has to build a team that can win. I mean, like, that's the rest of the group. That's
true.
What they got to be able to do.
Very true. We're the KNC
Masterpiece. Basketball talk. Oh, man, you got me going. Juices are flowing now.
God. Mike's in it
now. Coming up next, we're going to take a pretty hard turn.
Remember, I have a shirt to give away. You
just have to
say what was Corey's phrase for the Rangers in 2011.
Or say, I love Miller Lite. That will probably help out. If you can tell us both of those things. I want both of those things. Coming up next, U.S. Paralympians, this former Patriot, and Ellie De La Cruz. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco on 105.3 The Fan.
First pitch clobbered. That is drilled over top the pen. The long launch by De La Cruz. Two batters in. It's 2-0 Reds.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where that was an unbelievably busy commercial break. I gave somebody a hug. I got a birthday present.
He didn't even know why he was hugging. He just did. He just was like, all right, I'll give a hug out. And he did.
I told Alec I was a moron. Yeah. So there are all kinds of things happening in that break. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. We're going to kick off some Forgiveness Friday. But also, while we do that, I believe that Corey and Mike have a project that they need to work on.
I'm going to get to this in a minute. I got to find out how to open this. But our friend at RJ Duke Sports Cards.
With your hands.
Remember whenever we were out there last time, I was like, Kevin, I think I'm going to start collecting George Washington's.
Yes.
These are the history cards that he brought by for us. And I think these are awesome. You remember how I was excited about these?
That's such a common last name.
Washington?
Yeah, but we don't hear too many Georges. Do you feel like if your last name is Washington, you've taken George out of the Rolodex?
Oh, man, that's probably a good, yeah.
Because that's a high expectation to live up to, right? They're like, oh, George Washington, like, he's a great plumber, but he's not the president.
Lincoln's a kind of popular last name, and I don't think Abraham is in use now. If you're Lincoln, you're like, we cannot call, if my last name's Lincoln, I'm not going to call my kid Abe or Abraham. And if your last name is Washington, which is way more common than even Lincoln, I don't feel like we meet people and say, oh, how's it going? I'm George Washington.
Dude, I got a...
That's a good question. I
got a Douglas Fairbanks and Sophia Loren card.
Oh, wow. So a car dealership and Sophia Loren.
What?
Authentic hair samples.
It's not the fair... Oh, my goodness.
Their hair is in my card.
Well, I mean, but
in your face.
What you want. Have you ever thought Jurassic Park style, like wonder if you could recreate those people based on
their
that
DNA?
Strand of hair? Yeah.
Isn't that why Ted Williams put his head somewhere?
Yeah, so
it's in a freezer.
Down the road.
I think
Disney's
it's not
head.
In there anymore.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah, they took it out.
When did that happen? Nobody told us.
I think when his son died, who put it in there?
Oh.
I think. I'm not 100% sure, but that's what I've heard. Yeah,
well, maybe Ted Williams' son needs to ask for forgiveness. Let's kick it into Forgiveness Friday, 877-881-1053. I'm going to throw myself in there to start, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I feel like I have been really high strung this morning, so please forgive me for that. I'm going to relax now.
Were you nervous about Jerry and Mickey?
I don't think so.
It was Mickey more than Jerry?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
That makes sense, man. I totally get it.
And did I want to play that clip where Jerry said that was the best the offensive line looked in week two? Sure. But not productive.
No, you're doing fine, man. 877-881-1053 if you think Kevin's been a jerk already this morning.
I can think of at least one person that would probably be like, yeah. Do you want to grant forgiveness to the zoo in China that has admitted that they were trying to pass off two dogs as pandas? Now, what happened was, I mean, they walk like dogs. They wag their tails. They pant. They definitely look like dogs. But they painted them to look like pandas. Do we need to forgive this Chinese zoo for trying to deceive the zoo patrons?
I don't think we should forgive them, Kevin.
Okay.
Because, first off, I didn't believe this story when I first saw it. I was like, there is no way that that's a real thing, that they were actually trying to do that. That's ridiculous to think that somebody would go, we're going to paint it will look like a chow dog, and we're going to paint this chow dog to look like a panda bear. And I didn't believe the story at first, but now that Kevin's brought it back to the table, I guess I have to believe that it's a real thing. That thing almost did look like a panda, though.
Because
almost.
They painted it like a panda. It looks like a dog.
It does look like a dog.
It definitely looks.
But it looks like a panda.
I guess. Now.
Kevin.
Oh.
I got a note here.
Okay.
So I need forgiveness.
Oh.
My girlfriend is a Commanders fan.
Oh, dear.
And dad is a Ravens fan. and they've made poor choices. It's pastry chef Eric there that says he's made
feels
poor
like
choices
they need to get
life.
Up here and make ask for forgiveness. You like the Cowboys and you're here. Ding, ding. All right? Sounds like they need to get up
you
here.
You sound like Rocky versus Apollo Creed at the end of at
right.
the end of Rocky 3.
But he has the – does he have the mouthpiece in, right? And he goes, droom, droom, because he's got his mouthpiece in.
Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe he took it out and then put it back in.
Maybe. I do love that movie.
Kevin, he said yes. Mike said that's exactly what happened. Do I need forgiveness?
Oh.
I want to buy one of these $10 buckets.
Yes.
That goes to the Miracle League, courtesy of Buffalo Wild Wings. They're, every October, they get a cause that they can donate to, and I don't have any cash. And I asked Adrian, because I know she's off today, I asked her to come up here and bring
Corey
me some
Majors.
Cash. Oh, you're kidding me right here.
I have a $20 bill right here.
Look at that. Look at that.
Okay.
Now I owe
Relax,
Kevin $20.
Everybody.
I think those are two for two.
Yeah,
okay.
He's got a gold bar and
okay,
he's got a...
Relax. I got a $20 bill. We will purchase two of them.
Dan, there you go. I like that. Let's take care of the Miracle League, baby.
You're welcome. And
thanks,
by the
man.
Way, they do this really cool thing called Team Up for Kids. And so they always focus on a different, like, youth-centric charitable program. And so this year they're going with the Miracle League. It's $10. It's got, like, a bottle of spices. It's got a really sweet Buffalo Wild Wings glass in there. It's definitely worth more than $10. But even if it wasn't, it's for charity.
And it's a shirt as well. And yet,
oh, like, is that right?
Yeah, there's a shirt in there.
Oh, wow.
And Kevin, like you said, they pumped it out here today for us because we have Tolos out here. But they also said for the entire month of October, that's where that's going to be. So if you want to take part in Buffalo Wild Wings in October and help out.
There's not much month left.
Make sure you bring your cash, all right?
All of October?
All of October.
We got plenty
Mike,
of time.
We're in September right now.
I know.
So.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah. We haven't even started the month. Now, Mike, I want to get your take on this because this is, like, oddly impressive to me. Does Ellie De La Cruz...
As impressive as going to the plate 14 times in a row to start off your career without striking out, walking, or getting a hit?
That is super weird. Yeah, that is...
Because I own that record.
Good job, Mike. Ellie De La Cruz is on pace to become the first player in the history of baseball to lead the league in stolen bases while also leading the league in strikeouts.
Sweet, man. He's Reggie Jackson and Ricky Henderson.
He has 16 more strikeouts than anyone and 16 more stolen bases. I guess now it's down to 13 more stolen bases than anyone. But he has a humongous lead. He's going to lead the league in stolen bases and in strikeouts.
That's interesting, right? Because usually if you're a strikeout guy, you're a power guy. And I'm not saying he doesn't have power, but then usually you're not a speed guy.
Yeah.
Because if we think of whether it's Tim Raines, Vince Coleman, Ricky Henderson, those are the guys growing up, they really weren't power hitters. Ricky had some power, but those were guys that, man, if they get on base, they're going to run. I'm trying to think of the best power hitting stolen base threat.
Obviously now it's Shohei.
He's going to stop doing that. I think that people need to understand this. I was talking to our guy Meat Church yesterday night, and that's a weird way to say it.
Like yesterday night?
Yeah. But I was like, this is never going to happen again for him. And I don't know if – I guess I would say Ronald Acuna Jr., 40-70 last year,
yeah,
so I guess he's
that's
the,
a good one.
And then
that's
Willie,
Jose Canseco,
they said Willie
right?
Mays could run. Jose Canseco
yeah.
first.
Was he the 30-30 club?
40, he was first 40, ever 40-40.
Yeah, so yeah, that, I guess but, Canseco at that time.
Willie was like, I'm not running because McCovey's hitting behind me, and I'm going to keep that hole open.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Ricky Henderson? Was he a power guy?
I don't think he had. I'd have to look and see if he had 400 home runs. I don't know if he had 400 home runs.
Okay,
yeah.
I know he had a lot of leadoff home runs.
He played 46 years, so.
Now,
accumulate stats.
It is a cool stat, though. Like, that's the thing about baseball that isn't in football is when you start talking about records in football. Let me ask you this. Who holds the record for most passing yards?
Tom Brady.
All time?
I think it is Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
It's either Tom Brady or Drew Brees.
But
right?
I couldn't tell you.
We have
you the
no
number.
Clue
yeah.
what the number is.
Yeah.
We know Emmitt beat Walter Payton. I don't know what I don't know what Emmitt ended up as.
That's
or,
a fair point. Like 18 and change.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask for forgiveness for the Hall of Fame. Not for me. I'm
Which
not
one?
Giving these probabilities. Probabilities for first-time Hall of Famers to make the Hall of Fame. Travis Frederick, 16-1.
Football Hall of Fame.
So he's about a 6% shot. Eli Manning,
Let's go.
2-1.
1-5.
So okay, they say
he has a 500% chance of making it.
Yes, or an 83.3% chance of making it if you prefer
he was a great
that
quarterback.
Way of breaking it down. Was he?
In 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Name me who else won 2 Super Bowls in his time.
I mean, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
So he's right up there with the best.
Yep. Okay, well. Yeah. That
hey,
has
you know who else? Didn't Ben Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger.
Probably Ben
Roethlisberger.
I'm not saying those were the only ones, but yes, I understand.
Tony Romo.
Your point.
Oh,
now,
Romo didn't win one, Mike.
What?
Yeah, I know. I know. A lot of us think that he
I think
did.
You're misremembering.
Okay, I'll go back and look at the stats.
No, you're definitely not misremembering.
I'll tell you, the great thing is that was the worst thing that the Jones family ever felt like they did, and they've made sure to make that correction with their next quarterback.
Yeah. Now... Look, I can't argue against that.
The thing about being a Cowboy fan is you need to go by words and not actions.
That's fair. Because if you're waiting for actions, you're going to be disappointed. Now, does the ironically named Patrick Pass deserve forgiveness? He was a former halfback for the Patriots. Clearly, his name, just like Cooper Rush, should be Cooper Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's 46 years old now.
I am too.
Okay. He's a former NFL football player. He allegedly pushed an 82-year-old man to the ground because they had an argument about exercise equipment, and the old man suffered a back injury.
I'm assuming this was at a gym?
It was at a gym, yes. I guess I should have clarified. That's my equipment. The hell it is.
It could be an equipment store, yeah. It could have been like an Oshman's.
That's true, yeah. He could have been at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Now, I did not know that there was a separate classification for this. He is being charged on one misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct and one felony count of assault on a person over the age of 60 causing bodily injury. I did not know we had classifications for... That person was old. It's a different crime.
I guess there is child abuse, right?
That's
like that
true.
Is a different crime
that
too.
Is very
so
true.
Yeah, I guess I'm going opposite ends of the spectrum there, from old to young. So what is it for us? Like if we get beat up, is it just
we're middle-aged white people?
Should have been better.
Nothing.
Okay.
It's a regular. Well, not nothing. I'm saying it's a regular kind
assault.
Of crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's,
yeah.
It's not special or anything like that. And then we need to figure this out.
Okay.
Because I don't think I'm educated enough to know who's in the wrong here. So 4 U.S. Paralympians were banned from the closing ceremonies of the 2024 Paralympics because they were making fun of some people on social media. Now, they claim they're not making fun of those athletes. They were making fun of, like, what the Olympic Committee and Paralympic Committee does and does not consider, like...
Oh.
What would qualify them? So
you make fun of the company, and the company says then you can't be part of it.
Exactly. And
gotcha.
So, but it started like this. I stand with you after somebody made a social media post asking why S9 classification people are allowed in the Paralympics. And they were like, S9? It's a joke. So some people are like, so you're making fun of this person's diagnosis because you don't agree with it.
Mm.
And other people are like, no, it's a diagnosis. It's just you shouldn't necessarily be in the Paralympics. And so it's turned into, like, you would think this is a heartwarming time for everybody. And now it's turned into, I don't know if you belong in here. Well, you can't come to the closing ceremonies. And it feels like a giant catastrophe.
Yeah. I don't know who deserves forgiveness in that instance either. Because... No, Kevin, I'm sorry I don't have an answer for you.
I don't
you
have
on
an
that
answer
one.
Either.
Yeah, and Raleigh Crossley has had to answer questions about, hey, do you really have a disability?
Yeah.
Which is probably
you think it's real?
Sucks to ask that question. Like, hey, you have a real disability? Like,
he's like, I deal with it every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of a problem for me. Kevin, one last thing on mm-hmm. Forgiveness Friday, if mm-hmm. you don't mind.
Yeah.
I need forgiveness.
Oh, okay.
I recently, my kids were like, you need to buy some Jordans. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get some Jordans. And so they got me some Jordans, Mike. However, I don't know how to lace Jordans. And so mine are like, they feel like they're going to fall off
my
feet.
They look like those Back to the Future shoes.
But everybody's always talking about the loose lace and everything. But my laces are hanging. So Ruben said he would lace my shoes out here today for me. So since I don't know how to lace shoes, he said he would lace my shoes for me in the loose fit like that.
I don't want to go too far into, like, Pulp Fiction, but
uh-huh.
is that, like, allowed? You know, like, when he's like, you shouldn't be massaging that man's wife. Like, should you have another man lacing your shoes? Like, I don't – that feels weird to me.
What part of Pulp Fiction does that happen in? Are you talking about, like – John Travolta?
Yeah, when he – no, oh, when Ving Rhames is like, no, you should not be massaging my wife. So this is my same question here.
Who did it?
Ving Rhames.
I don't know.
He ended up getting –
and maybe he got his soul taken. There's a whole other thing we need to talk about that. Yeah. That's what was in the case, Mike, supposedly. It was his soul.
What? He's the guy that got the ball like in his mouth?
Yeah. Do you need to go back and watch that movie?
Mike's going to need to give this a reel.
It's like three movies in one movie.
It is.
Mike was only paying attention to the John Travolta scenes. Other than that, he was like, I'm out.
Yeah, he had to take a needle and put it in the girl's heart.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, yes.
And with Thurman, right?
That is true.
Yeah, and then she turned into a villain.
She didn't turn into
Batman.
She killed Bill.
That poison ivy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then her daughter.
Those are all different movies that you're talking
her
about.
Her daughter helped that town in Indiana with the Stranger Things.
Wouldn't it make acting and actressing so much better if you could only do one movie?
That would be so.
Yes, I've seen it.
You have to choose
Vince
your role.
I've seen it. He does
your role.
Movie.
That would be better if you only get to do one movie.
Yeah.
By the way,
and they're just the Karate Kid.
We've gotten a lot of feedback. All movies are the Karate
Kid. Getting arrested,
for him, for that one guy though,
and using Joe Pesci to get him out.
All right, I was going to give you a heartfelt text message.
He's also in the mob.
Shut up. I've now lost it. I like it.
Oh, you had a ball sack
shirt. I have now lost it. But somebody texted in and said their kid goes to or gets services from Miracle League. So they're very appreciative that we're bringing it up. I know we were having a lot of fun and people were making fun of me for, you got a $20 bill.
You do have a $20
bill. You can buy these charitable buckets for $10. The proceeds go to the Miracle League at Buffalo Wild Wings and then the Buffalo Wild Wings here in Frisco. So thank you to everyone who's participating in that. We're the KNC Masterpiece. It's real. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Let's talk some Thursday Night Football. Plus, surprising statistics through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. We'll do it next live from Frisco on 105.3 The Fan.
Short drop, quick throw, good move, and despite hanging on to the shirt into the end zone goes Alan Lazard. Great move on Alex Austin that time.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco, and Collin County is a haven for sports card places. I want to shout out two in particular, RJ Dukes in McKinney. Delightful people. They're going to make a great donation for Peace-a-thon. And then Sports Collectors Hub.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, during, why would you do that?
During the
Corey?
Show. You Sorry. Know, I screw up a lot. But that was a big screw-up by
chips
you, Corey. You might not have as many screw-ups, but that was a huge one.
That was a huge one. So shout-out to RJ Dukes and McKinney and also Sports Collectors Hub in Allen. That is Kyle and company, the people who run the Dallas Card Show. I'm going by there after the show today because they are going to make a big old Peace-a-thon donation as well. So thank you very much.
Time for the shakedown.
They're both off of 75. RJ Dukes is near a McDonald's.
That is true.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
I've been there.
So just look for a McDonald's off of 75.
I don't. In McKinney, it's like off of exit 40-ish. So hopefully that helps.
Kyle's shop is off of 75, too.
And exit 35-ish.
Yeah, it's before the outlet mall.
Okay. So Mike's doing some great work helping out right there. Right now.
Knocked it out of the park.
We'll say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
There we go.
Now, I know a lot of discussion in last night's Thursday Night Football game, Jets win 24-3, was centered around Robert Saleh looking like he wanted to give Aaron Rodgers a hug. Aaron Rodgers very politely pushing him off of him.
Was that polite?
I thought it was polite because he didn't like really push him. The next part wasn't polite because then he looked like if I had laser beams for eyes, I would shoot them through you right now.
Like that Bronco in
Denver? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So outside of that, and we could talk more about that, did you take anything away from the game or were you like, that's the Patriots I thought we'd get?
How did the Patriots ever win a football game?
That's a great question.
They are horrible.
And they beat the Bengals.
I didn't stick around and watch Drake May throw his 2-for-4. So I don't know how the May looked.
He looked more athletic than Brissett, because that offensive line of the Patriots absolutely sucks.
Yeah, that offensive line got obliterated last night. I'll say that I think the Jets are a better team than, you know, they've looked early in the season here. Aaron Rodgers finally getting some touchdowns and everything, you know, passing. Garrett Wilson getting his, Lazard getting his. But that offensive line for the Patriots could not stop. Brissett was under fire the whole time. He's a sacrificial, like, he's a sacrifice right now. That's why Drake May's not starting. They're not good enough on the offensive line.
Like that song, My Sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like that My Sacrifice by Creed.
I understand even more why they didn't want to put Drake May out there. And I feel bad for Jacoby Brissett. They're like, hey, you're not our quarterback of the future.
Hey, the game's over. Will you guys stop crushing the quarterback?
Yeah.
We'd like for our rookie to get in four passes before this night's over.
Why don't you go ahead and trot on out there? Let's see what we can do. But Jerod Mayo, by the way, came back out and said, Jacoby Brissett is our quarterback until I say he's not the quarterback. Which makes sense.
I understand that because, again, he's the sacrificial lamb that they're throwing out there because the line's so bad. I'm very interested in – I was listening last night, and they were talking about the connection with Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Garrett Wilson's been a really good receiver to start his career already, right? 2,000-yard years. He's been really good and not a lot of touchdowns. And he said that Rodgers has been challenging him to get the most out of him. And there were moments last night where it looked like Wilson was upset with him for whatever reason, and they finally got on the same page. But I'm interested because it seemed like Lazard gets a lot of attention from him. He's got a lot of mouths to feed, Aaron Rodgers does, on this Jets wide receiver bunch.
That's true. Well, there's lots of people in the league that have a lot of mouths to feed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, let's go from that to...
like the Dolphins team, isn't that what Tyreek Hill?
Oh, man. I wouldn't have thought this to start the season, but ponder this for a moment, if you will.
Christian Ponder.
The combination of Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Justin Fields are 8-0.
Yeah.
And then the combination of Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, and Trevor Lawrence are 0-8.
Trevor Lawrence makes sense.
Is there, aside from Mike, is there anyone who would have thought that this would be the case this early in the season?
No. I would have probably maybe gambled that Justin Fields would be because as Mike points out all the time, Mike Tomlin's a good coach.
That's true.
And their defense is still good. And that's what's kept them in these games so far. I mean, you said they're not scoring touchdowns. They're winning these games
scored one touchdown.
They're winning these games by being a really good defense and being sound on special teams as well. So I probably would have bet that, but nah, man. The other flip side of all that, no. Maybe Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville.
Okay.
Just because they haven't changed my mind about what they were last year. It feels like 2 years ago was a little bit of a fluke, and last year was more the reality of that team.
Yeah.
And I was blaming more of it on the team until yesterday you pointed out all the bad throws from Trevor Lawrence, and now I'm just like, oh, man, maybe it's just all Trevor Lawrence.
It could be. Like I've said before, I'll repeat myself.
Mike.
Fire the coach.
Yes.
Doug Peterson, hang out with Brian Broaddus on 105.3 The Fan. You might be better at that. And I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is good. He might stink. But I need to find out if he had another coach, if he'd be any better. And can't bring back Fingers Magoo because that doesn't help either.
No, you should not. What do you think about this breakdown from rookie running back Braylon Allen? You would have seen him last night with the Jets. He said the reason why he fell to the fourth round was, quote, everyone wanted to see me run in my underwear to decide if I was a good football player.
Mm. Who said this?
Braylon Allen.
The running back.
And he said he
the 20-year-old.
He didn't. And he was like, that's why I fell to the fourth round, because I didn't go out there for the combine.
He felt his tape was the definer.
Yes.
And for a lot of the guys, like, that's what Broaddus says. A lot of it is that, but it's the health that they're trying to figure out at the combine more than anything else. And then it's a lot of, like, networking and all that stuff. So I admire that, and I admire that from players. I think the combine's important. I think those combines are important, though, for you to be seen in other situations, not just to run in your underwear.
The good news is when he hits free agency, he'll be 23.
That is nice.
That would be for a running back.
Yeah,
you would still have what you'd consider quite a bit of life left.
And he'll only have made fourth-round money. So did it cost him? Was it worth it?
To get out of that extra year, sometimes I do kind of wonder.
Okay, there you go.
He's a senior at Highland Park right now.
Now, one statistic.
Like on their football team. Oh. They're usually 19.
One statistic about the six first-round quarterbacks, none of the rookie quarterbacks has thrown a touchdown through two games. Now, I realize only three of them have really been playing, though we got a glimpse of Drake May last night. But in the first 2 weeks of the season, no touchdown passes from the three rookie quarterbacks.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of further proves what we saw in preseason. Does not play when you get to the NFL. I mean, that's what I'm learning more and more. They looked really good in preseason in a number of different times.
And then shout out to Brock Bowers, the tight end for the Raiders. He's caught 9 passes for 98 yards. And if you combine in this past game, you combine that with this total from last week, 6 for 58. This is astonishing to me. He is the first tight end in NFL history to catch at least 5 passes for at least 50 yards in their first 2 games. That's it. 2 games with 5 catches for 50 or more yards. It's never happened for a tight end.
Jason Witten's never done that?
Not to start his career. Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez didn't do that?
No, stop naming tight ends. I know what you're doing.
Ozzie
none
Newsome?
Of them. No, none of them.
I mean, obviously, we got David LaFleur, yeah. So he came close.
He didn't do it.
I think, how many catches?
5 for
50. I think he might have got that his rookie year.
for the whole season? For the whole
season. Yeah, don't worry. If you think Schoonmaker's bad, if you're not old enough, David LaFleur sucked.
He wasn't good, Kevin.
Yes,
that's
thank
true.
You. I was able to piece that code together. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. Coming up next, you got the Cowboys. You got the Ravens. So let's do some Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.